What was it they used to say? Is everybody sitting comfortably?
Yeah, that began.
I think that was the start of, was that the start of an old TV show or something like that, back when TV shows were worth watching?
Can't recall. Let's pray, and then we'll see.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time that we've set aside to come again to your house and spend a wee bit of time in your presence. In your word as well, Lord, and just doing proper church things instead of taking hammers and chisels and saws to everything. But thank you, Lord, for the weather, for the windows we got in, but just for the light that comes into the church hall now. It's so good to see it. Please, Lord, I pray, if you would, for more of that weather tomorrow, and for strength of limb and sharpness of mind to get all the things done that we need to get done. Bless our time in your presence now, Lord, and use it to shape us and mould us and to rub off any rough spots. We really do need you, Lord, especially as these days get darker and darker. And I pray you, please, that you would provision us, Lord, physically, spiritually, mentally, as time goes on. I love you and thank you. Pray that you'd be with our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be. And Lord, pray your help in all the things we put our hands to, and most importantly, for your will to be done. Just ask all these things, Father, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
I'm going to call out the number there, but I can't see it without my glasses on. 240. 240, the Lily of the Valley. We haven't sung this for an age. I hope and pray you enjoy it. Let's make a joyful noise. And let's go.
Amen. 372 is our next one. This is
Another favourite of mine and of Pat's and Steve's as well, it's Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. We'll just remain seated for this one.
Without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we are among you, for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak again, to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how we turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Interesting last couple of words there in verse 10. It tells us that, well, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So basically saying that there's not peace, not everlasting peace, and things are not getting better and better, especially for those that are lost, but the wrath of God. At the end of John chapter 3, it says, the wrath of God abideth with those souls that don't get saved. So, yes, indeed. Amen. Thank you for that. And I think we should thank Steve a bit for that one too. Thank you, Norman. Thank you, Steve. And we look forward to getting another one on Sunday. Amen. Just take a minute to look at prayer requests. Does anybody have any? Anything extra? All good? It's not like school. I'm not going to ask anybody a question. Frank. Not going to ask anybody for the answer. I'm just asking. That's grand. Just want for you to remember. We've been praying hard for good weather because take a look. Did you have a look in there yet?
Yeah.
You've seen the windows up.
But now
the windows are on the other side as well. Okay. And see how much light is coming in. It's like completely different. We were, even in bright sunny days, we were having to put the lights on, and now you would hardly even notice the lights on with the amount of sunlight coming in. We've been praying for good weather, and we've been ducking a few rainstorms, but the Lord gave us some good weather today and a little bit yesterday, and we're praying for more tomorrow. Two more windows to put in, actually. One in the kitchen and one upstairs in the attic. So please do pray for those. The upstairs one's not a rush job, but we would like the one in the kitchen, and we have a fair bit of work to do. So we would appreciate your prayers for that. We miss Will and Pat and Steve, of course, as well. They're not well. Please do continue to pray for Steve. Charlotte was saying her stomach, what's it they used to say in the advertisement? My stomach's bad. They have a prescription. And then it would say, you don't need a pill for every ill, but please do pray for Charlotte. Her stomach seems to be giving her a bit of a bother. So I'm sure she would appreciate your prayers. Please pray for Colin as well and Will. And don't forget everybody else that's here. Frank's going to be here until next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Flying next Tuesday.
Yeah.
So will we get to see you on Sunday?
Yeah.
Good job. Good job. Please do pray for Frank then as he travels next week, but we'll come back to that. That is about that. We got all our private prayer requests. Does anybody have any thanks? Safety. Frank is okay. The two wisdom teeth are out. And it's coming round. Blessings. Land sale completed. We've got all that. Colin, new job. Charlotte, new job. I think that's about that. There's nothing else, is there? Please do pray for all of our private prayer requests as well. We don't know all the details, we don't need to know all the details, but even people who don't have their names down there, I'm sure have things in their mind that they don't share the details with. Please do pray for them. Just pray for the soul. And we'll do that now, and then we'll sing another song, so let's close our eyes. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the offer, the desire for us to come into your presence, just to that you love us that much, that you've made a way that any time of the day or night, we can come into your presence. And I thank you, Lord, for offering to listen to us about anything and everything. And Lord, you know it's not just about ourselves or our brothers and sisters, but we can speak to you about anybody in the whole world. And I pray you, Lord, for all those that have been and gone,
And I wish, Lord, they had gone on to better things, but sadly, none have. I pray you please that you would restore them to walking and talking with you. I pray you please, Lord, for Frank and Ling and Dr. Shine, for Norman and Monica and myself this evening as we spend this time in your presence. And for all the other souls, our brothers and sisters that are saved, who are spending time in your presence today and tomorrow, just whenever and wherever, Lord. For those, Lord, that literally take their lives in their hands to gather together to worship and praise you, I pray that you would provision them and that you would deliver them, Lord, this day too. Lord, for the leaders of our countries, I pray you, Lord, that you would greatly constrain them and oppose them at every turn, that you would stir up your children, that we would be made to sit up and take notice, and Father, that some man or woman somewhere would stand up and say, just hold on a wee second, and just point out the grave errors and flaws and wickedness that's involved in so much of our modern legislation. Please, Lord, I know many of these men hide behind bodyguards and bulletproof walls and bombproof walls and have soldiers and dogs and barbed wire, but Lord, none of those things stop you. Please put your hand upon them, Lord, and put the fear of God into them before it's everlasting too late. And for all the folks around about us, Lord, in Maydown and Strathfoyle, and even on the Maboy Road, those that have been spoken to in the town that have received a gospel tract in the door, please, Lord, use that to speak to them now. Father, we just love you. We look forward to spending this wee bit of time in your presence. Pray for understanding, Lord, and Lord, just everything that we need. We pray most importantly for your will to be done. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and for saving us, for the good sense to accept your Son as Savior. And Lord, we leave these things at your feet. Amen. Right, let's take our big hymn books again. Got another couple of hymns picked when no one was here to pick them for me. Hymn number 162, 162. That's an oldie. I do remember singing this one before I came to Bethel. To God be the glory. It's not bad.
number 10, home favourite, near the cross. If you're able, stand with me when we sing.
Spend a few minutes on the subject of what next. Right, on Sunday morning, we did a little bit of a study and a message on the work that the Lord did on the cross for us. Not because we're special or because we're owed it, but because He loves us. And how that brought to us the free gift of salvation. And then on Sunday evening, we had another message, which was, don't stop. In other words, you don't just stop at salvation. You capitalize on it, and you go on, and you build a Christian life. And this evening, I'd like to spend a little bit of time, hopefully, progressing on from those. I'm thinking the subject of what next. In other words, we're going to look at what the Lord did as He started out His ministry, or should I say, the precursor to the Lord starting out His ministry, and just see if there are any thoughts or any lessons, any ideas we can get from that. Matthew chapter 4, there's 25 verses, we're going to read them all, and we will see what the events that led up to Jesus commencing His ministry here on earth. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Excuse me. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And in one of the other gospels it says, For they are given unto me. In other words, he has control over them, so that's worth remembering. Then said Jesus unto him again, then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed unto Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Just give me one moment. I just had a thought there whenever I was speaking. Amen. That might be Sunday's message. it's amazing the places and times you get these wee ideas. We're taking this all as our text for this evening, and I just want to have a wee look at the things that the Lord went through and how we can learn from those. I'm sure you'll see for yourself how you have gone through many of those things as well. So let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you for the service so far, for the freedom that we still have to sing your praises and even gather together in this much smaller church hall than we're used to. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would be one of our number. Please take this time to minister to us, Lord, even just to take us apart from the world, to give our heads a chance to cool, to think about other things. Leave this time at your feet, Lord. Please take and work in our hearts and minds. Comfort us and strengthen us and watch over us. And I pray, Lord, for private prayer requests or please grant these according to your will. And Lord, most importantly, we pray for your will to be done. And sometimes it's difficult. Let's keep our eyes upon you, Lord, and just knuckle to it. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus. Please bless this time in your presence, Father. Amen.
Amen.
As we have a little look at this, now bear in mind, we're looking at what Jesus did, but we're also looking at how that can apply to us. This is before the miracles started. This is before Jesus made a name for himself. He had his, in quotes, baptism of fire. When are you getting too warm now?
Yep.
Whenever he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. And it's not something you want to go through, because the devil knows all of your weak spots, because he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is always out there looking. I'll get cool air. He's always out there looking for your weak spots, and he won't think twice about exploiting them. It's well worth remembering that. The first thing that happened was that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And a lot of times, if you as a Christian were assuming that this is pointed at saved souls, but if a soul is not saved, the first thing, obviously, before you do anything else, is get saved. Because you never know what a day will bring. We have had a few interesting ones here, and some of them could have ended quite badly. You never know what a day will bring, but you should be prepared to be led with the Spirit. You should be ready to stop what you are doing and listen to what God says and do what God asks you to do. Do what he tells you to do, repeat what he told you to say, and you will find that things will move in the direction God wants them to. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, because the very next thing that you see here is that the Lord is fasting in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Before anybody says anything, we're not talking about Lent. Lent is a man-made 40-day period in which people try to approximate what the Lord went through by giving up on chocolate or crisps or booze or drugs or cake and custard. And because we give up cake and custard, we're really suffering for Jesus here. And we're getting holier and holier. Now, that's a man-made thing, and it's trying to, people try to feel good for a little bit by doing something for 40 days and then pretending that that's equivalent to what Jesus did for 40 days. That's nonsense. But anyway, if you fast for 40 days and 40 nights, you will most likely die like Jesus did. You and I can't do that. But he was led to this point. There are a lot greater forces at work here than the ones that you and I have at our command. And right whenever he was at his lowest physical ebb, and bear that in mind, there are times in your life when you will be at a low ebb. You will be angry. You will be hungry. You will be frustrated. You will be, believe it or not, on top of the world celebrating. And it is just at those times that the old devil, if he finds a particular weakness that works with you, he will come in like a flood. The Bible says he'll be in there. Do you know what way a flood comes in? If there was a flood around this church, we could shut our front door now and it would be sealed pretty tight. And we might sit in here thinking, we have closed our front door. Unfortunately, unless this building is 100% airtight, which no building is, it will creep in over the bricks and under the steel and into the wall, or it'll creep through the back and up, and the doors will be closed and the water will come up on the inside to the same level it is on the outside. The devil will come in like a flood through some of the most unexpected places. Just remember, when he does, the Lord will always raise up a standard. There's always a way for you to contend with him.
even if it's simply to remove yourself. In this case, he tempted the Lord. The devil, who was created by Jesus, tempted Jesus with the things that he wanted the most. Bear that in mind. Things that God wanted the most, right there and then. Hold on. I've been fasting for 40 days. I could really do with something to eat. And so the devil comes in and says, what you really need to do is command those stones to turn into bread and eat them. And Jesus says, that's not what the battle, what the battle's about. That's not what it's being fought over, he says. Bread's all well and good. That will keep you alive for a day, but the word of God will keep you alive forever and ever. Man shall not live by bread alone. Bear that in mind. We are a three-part body. We are physical, we are spiritual, and we are mental. I suppose you don't have to look too far to find the mental people in this world today. And every single one of those needs its food. We need to eat to keep our strength up. We need to fill our minds with good things to keep our thoughts up, our spiritual side. We need to make sure we're saved and getting the word of God to keep our spirits right. And so the devil says, right, I'm obviously not going to get him on food, because Jesus, whilst he might be hungry, is not going to make decisions based on his hunger. So he tries another slant. He says, what about, and I want you to see this, the devil was allowed to take Jesus to the top of the temple in the middle of the city. He says, well, throw yourself off there and God will save you. He'll send the angels to make sure you don't even stub your toe on the ground. Because the Lord desires to show us himself fully. We just can't take it. If you recall, I don't know if you recall or not, but way back when the children of Israel were going through the desert, Moses was up in the mountain getting the law from God, 40 days and 40 nights, I think it was, yeah. And he said, can I see you? I would like to see you. God said, look, if you saw my face, it would just be too much for you. You'd be like an ant under a magnifying glass on a sunny day. It would kill you. And how many times did men in the Old Testament that met with the angels or with the Lord God think, oh no, I'm going to die. I have met with God. I'm going to die. God said, you know what? I'll put you in the cleft of a rock, a wee hole in the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand, so that whenever I pass by, you don't die. And you can look at me then when I pass by from the back, but you can't look at me in the face, it'll just be too much for you. And so he does, and we know the account of how Moses, when he came down from the mountain, he was glowing with just a tiny bit of the reflected power of God, and it put the fear of God into people. He said, well, cover your face, we can't even stand that wee bit. God desires to show himself to us fully. He wants a loving, an intimate relationship, a father-son relationship with his children. And this would be one way to show that, for Jesus to be seen floating down, held up by angels from the temple. And people would see him as God then. The thing about it is, they wouldn't approach him then. They wouldn't be able to approach him as they did approach Jesus the man, because it would be too much for them. There would be too much fear. There would be no free will involved. It would all be fear, and just the way the kings treated the people. But the Lord says again, he doesn't start explaining that. He takes a step back and says, so you reckon I should put myself in danger and think God should pull me out of it? It is written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's like you saying, I'm saved, and walking out into the middle of the road without checking left or right, expecting God to whisk you out of the road when a 40-foot truck containing steel pipes comes barreling down the highway. That doesn't work. This is what will happen. You'll get squashed.
And people will learn, saved and lost alike, not to step out in the middle of the road. The last little bit is, again, something else that Jesus is owed, actually is his by right, is when the devil says, and just in a moment of time, the devil shows our Savior everything in the world, all the kingdoms, all the power of them, all the glory of them. And bear in mind, whilst that might be impressive to us, it only took one angel one night to kill 180,000 men of war. So impressive to us, not very impressive to God. But as we read on through the Bible, we read about there's going to come a time when all the countries of the world will praise God and will make pilgrimages to worship and praise him in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. So that's coming. And to be quite honest with you and truthful with you, it all belongs to him right now. But it is let out to us, and we are allowed to do pretty much whatever we want with it. But someday Jesus is coming back and saying, right, what have you done with it? He says, look, it's not about what you do with the world. It's not about what I do with the world. It's about who you praise and who you worship. The devil said, I'll give you all of these things if you will fall down and praise and worship me. I'll give them to you right now, Jesus says in the back of his mind. I'm going to have them anyway. There are just some things that I need to do. There is a proper order of events before I sit on the throne and I am worshipped as God. And we know, reading forward, there was an establishment of who he was. There were the words that he came to preach. There were the disciples that he came to ordain. There was the proof of his mastery over death whenever he resurrected himself from the dead. And there was the proof that he was God Almighty when he just flew up into the air out of their sights after the 40 days and 40 nights. And then there was the confirmation of the words of the apostles as they preached the word. Jesus did miracles, the apostles preached, the word was confirmed. And then there was 2,000 years of other people getting a chance to have what the Jews had been keeping to themselves for all of that time. There was a proper order of events. The word of God says Jesus is coming back, and the word of God says he's going to rule the world with a rod of iron. The Lion of Judah, not the Lamb of God. That'll be a time when people come before him who have killed people and raped and stolen and lied and cheated, and they'll have their solicitors there and say, my solicitor will speak on my behalf, and God will kill them both. Those that need a death penalty according to the Old Testament will get it, as well as those that would facilitate them. Solicitors will not be such a sought after job anymore. God said, there's only one person to worship in this world, and the rewards that you get for that will be the rewards that are due to you for worshiping God. You just let him sort that out. There was the physical. There was the, we'll call it pride, but the pride of life, the showing the people the way you are. And then there was the power and the glory and the belongings, the stuff that come with all of those. And all of those things are God's. They belong to God already. But Jesus took the form of a servant so that he could lead us to the foot of the cross, and someday we will see him in all his power and all his glory. For by even Jesus was not able to command vast armies, he had power over the earth. He was able to command the wind and the waves. He had power over the water. He told the water to sit absolutely still under his feet, and it did, and he walked on it. He had power over death, which he demonstrated with Lazarus and Jairus' daughter and the widow woman's son and even himself.
He had power over the air. Goodness. As he went up, didn't have a jet pack on, he didn't have an elevator, and he wasn't going up on a bungee. Wasn't being catapulted with a huge amount of elastics. He demonstrated at every turn his power over everything in the world. One for you to know as we look at this, that Jesus didn't shoot bolts of lightning out of his fingers. He's not the evil emperor out of Star Wars whenever the devil came to contend with him to try and throw a stick in his spokes. Each time the devil tempted him and came to him and tried to throw him off or tried to scupper him, he used the Bible. He quoted the Bible, "Man shall not live by bread alone. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." He did things God's way. James 4 and 7 summarizes that and says, submit yourself to God, do things God's way. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we know that the devil, he took a hike after that. So bear that in mind, Christian. You need to know a wee bit about the Bible before you set out. It is food and fuel and weapon and comfort to everybody that sets out in this Christian life. We need it. Now, as we go on, we see after this, we'll call it the baptism of fire. An introduction to the spiritual battle that is going on. And sometimes that takes a while for Christians to see it. I have seen it so many times in people's lives. And people don't always win. If you are not founding your life upon God, you're going to lose. If you found your life upon something else, if it's not on the solid rock, you are going to fall and you're going to fail. And believe you me, sometimes it is spectacular. It is serious. And it doesn't affect everybody around about. Next thing that we read of Jesus doing is preaching. You look on to verses 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach. Now, he didn't stand in a pulpit. There are a few times in the Bible that Jesus was in the synagogue. And he opened the Bible. There was a time when he was in the synagogue and he said to the disciples, you see that guy standing over there? And there was a guy standing over in the corner and he had his head down and he was beating his breast, and that's a sign in the Middle East of repentance. Yeah. If you ever see the Muslims doing that, they're beating their breasts whenever they're on TV, they're angry about something. But he was beating his breast and he was saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. He said, look at that guy over there. Now look at the Pharisee in the middle of the church. And he was standing like this and saying, thank you, God, that I am not like other men. I'm a superstar. And thank you, Lord, for making me that way. And Jesus said, say he was teaching there. Or when everybody came to put money in the plate, all these guys were coming along and they were throwing in their big bills. And this wee woman comes along, which is only a couple of pennies to rub together, and puts them in the plate. And Jesus says, who put the most in? The disciples probably said, well, it's those guys that with that money they put in, they'll be able to fix the roof. Because there's always a roof fund in the church. And Jesus said, that's not right, that's wrong. That widow woman put in more than those men. That they put in there was only, we'll call it their tithe, their 10%. But those two mites were all that woman had. That's 100%. That's worth remembering that. The Lord turned up in synagogues. There were a couple of times he turned up in synagogues and chased the money changers out at the start of his ministry and towards the end of his ministry. And he chased them with a whip. And that was after kicking over their tables and chasing the animals out
with this whip of small cords. The Lord did turn up at church. And whenever he did, things happened. People were convicted. Sometimes they behaved the way a convicted soul should and repented and got right with God. And sometimes they got the hump and tried to figure out a way to kill him. But regardless of whether it was in church, or as we scoot on towards the very end of this little portion of God's word, wherever he was, you think of all the places that Jesus was. Remember he met the woman at the well outside of, I think it was Samaria. In Samaria, the land of the Samaritans. So he met her at a well. He was walking out of a city one day and he met the widow woman with her son being carried out to be buried. One day he met a fellow called Jairus when he was hopping off a boat. That's where the song comes that Sandra introduced us to. She only touched the hem of his garment. He was on his way to fix Jairus' daughter, and this woman just touched the hem of his garment and immediately she was healed. In the middle of a crowd, completely on your own. On the top of the hilltop where he spoke to 5,000 men, not counting women and children twice. That's nothing to God. Whenever he was feeding tens of thousands every day for 40 years, my goodness. No matter the situation, the story is always the same. And we should be like that. It doesn't matter who you're speaking to. You should always deport yourself as a child of the King of Kings. But that doesn't mean that if you're talking to someone who's wearing working clothes, you can talk to them roughly and treat them badly. But whenever you see someone coming down with their stretched limousine and armed guards, that you treat them completely differently. And you treat them much more genteelly, because God looks way past the jeans, whether they're Dunn's jeans or Marks and Spencer's jeans or whether they're Levi's jeans. God looks into the heart of the person behind the jeans. And he sees. And we know that the Lord spoke to the poor. We know that he did. The Bible says the poor received him gladly. We know the Lord spoke to the rich. Because remember he went to visit Zacchaeus, the wee little man that was up on a tree? One of the richest men who was more than capable of giving half of his goods to the poor and then repaying back, what was it, 3 or 4 times what he had stolen from people as a filthy, lying, cheating, double-dealing, weight-fixing tax collector. He spoke to the pagans. Like, who is more pagan than a man given over to a legion of devils? Fixed him. And he spoke to the religious. He spoke to Jairus. He spoke to Nicodemus. He spoke to Caiaphas and Annas. 2 of them changed. 2 of them didn't. He spoke to the moral. The scribes that tithed of even the spices in their wives' cupboards. And he spoke to the immoral, the woman at the well who had married 5 times and was living with a man. Do you remember Mary Magdalene? I don't know if that was her, but she had 7 devils cast out of her, and she was the one that anointed his head with oil and wept over his feet and dried his feet with her hair. She must have been a prostitute or an adulterer, because the man said, does he not know who's touching him? It didn't matter. The woman who was about to be stoned to death for adultery, and there's always the question, where's the man? He was there and he spoke to them all. We should always remember that. My mother used to say to her children in primary 5, says, you're not any better than anybody else. You're not any worse than anybody else. Some of you are going to be bin men, and some of you are going to be brain surgeons. Just bear in mind that brain surgeons need bin men more than bin men need brain surgeons. Every week, the brain surgeon wants his rubbish lifted.
then man might never even see a brain surgeon. Bear that in mind. People are people are people. Jesus even said to Herod, that old fox, when the scribes and the Pharisees came and said, Herod's going to take and kill you, and the subtext being, just like he did John the Baptist, Jesus said, you go and tell that old fox that something's going to happen today and something's tomorrow and in a little while everything will be fulfilled. But regardless, he still got the gospel, and that's worth remembering. Here's a list of ones that came to him. Sick people with diverse diseases, torments, possessed of devils, lunatic, and disabled, those that had a palsy, and he healed them all. Now, we're not expected to heal people, because the important thing is not whether you have perfect health until you're 90. The important thing is that your soul is saved for the endless ages of eternity. That's what's important. And I have seen many people's problems disappear when they get saved. The things that they were concerned about, the things that were grinding them into the ground, when they threw their burdens off their backs at Calvary and trusted the Lord to take them, I saw many people's troubles disappear. Have. Friends, could learn something. Even if it's only to share with somebody the words that made a difference to you. It doesn't have to be a half an hour message or a three quarters of an hour message. Sometimes all you get is a moment of a till. I've shared this with you before. People say, if I just beat them to a till, I say, you go on ahead. They say, are you sure? I say, certainly, I'm going to live forever in heaven. What's 2 minutes in a till going to mean to me? You go ahead. Jesus saved my soul. I'm going to live forever. 2 minutes more in a line will not make a bit of difference, but it might help you. It's all that it takes. Or one time I was in, I know I keep sharing this one, but it's the best example. I walked out of B&Q. I went over for a sewer snake. You know what those are? That's the thing that's a big long spring, maybe a couple of meters long, and there's a thing like a claw on the end, and it's designed to claw its way through any blockages and drains and things like that. I didn't bring a trolley. So I had the sewer snake in my pocket, and my arms were full of bits and pieces, and I was busy trying to get one of the shop assistants to help me, and I walked out with a sewer snake in my pocket unpaid for. And I got to the car, and I left all the stuff, and Monica said, did you remember the sewer snake? I said, aye, of course, it's in my pocket. So I went back in, and I said, look, I walked out without paying for this. And a lot of people would say, oh, well, that's okay if you got out without paying for it. But that's stealing, whether you did it accidentally or not. Anyway, they said, there's not very many people would do that. I said, well, you see, I'm saved. And if I did that knowingly, I would never get any joy out of it. I'd never get any work out of it. And the Lord would take it out of my hide. I cannot afford to be on the wrong side of God. And that's all that it takes. It's a moment, a thought, and this is the most important ingredient, a love for lost people, a love for the brethren. That's all that it takes. Have you ever noticed that whenever you love something, nothing's too much trouble? You ever notice that? When you love something, it's not too much trouble to walk another 100 yards. When you love somebody or something, it's not too much trouble to make a phone call. It's not too much trouble to talk to. It's not too much trouble to spend a little bit of your money. It's not too much trouble to go a little bit out of your way. You have to love people.
if you're a Christian. The love of God that saved you will have taken up residence in your heart. Now, sometimes it takes a bit of time to break through all the dross and the old habits and one thing and another. But it will, if you feed it, if you exercise it. Now, on a completely different note, I want to share this with you as well. I've been talking to our neighbour Stephen, same sermon, slightly different tag, and I've had opportunity to talk to Norman over the past 6 months it's gone up. We have had a lot of talks, but a lot of them revolve around keeping moving and eating right and getting a decent night's sleep. That's what our bodies need. They need to keep moving, they need to be fed properly, and they need to rest. Whether that's your physical body or whether that's your spirit, your soul, it needs to be fed, it needs to be exercised, and it needs to be rested. And that's why God took a break for one day in the week. This is the day. Sunday is the day that we observe that. The Sabbath day, the day the Jews observe that. We need the break. We need the time apart from the world, even though the old man doesn't want to. We need it. Stephen and I were saying about he's got a bit of arthritis in his shoulders and his back, and he had to give up his horses. He loved those horses. And he's having to give up one of his horses because it's getting too much for him. He was away out to cut hedges, and he says he's going to be paying for that tonight. Norman and I will be sitting at 4 o'clock. The biggest mistake you can ever make is have a tea break at 4 or 5 o'clock with work still to do, because you'd be stiff and sore afterwards. The best thing you can do is keep moving. Until you're done, you go home and fuel up and you rest. Make sure you're ready to do it all again. There are so many things that are the same for our souls as they are for our bodies. It's just exactly the same. And the Lord has that all for us in His Word. Allow the Holy Spirit to dictate, to suggest, to command you. He'll never put you somewhere that you're not fit to deal with it. Keep the Word of God in mind whenever you come to decisions and situations. And regardless of where it is or who it is that you're speaking to, don't be afraid to tell them the gospel. They have heard the news, they know the propaganda, they have checked the weather page, they know what the weather is. But the odds are they haven't heard about God. So there you go. Tell people, no matter who they are, about God. And as you go on, you will find that it's no big deal that you get one of the biggest kicks in the world out of fighting for people's souls, and everything will work out for the best. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. And well, I'm going to say we'll see you again on Sunday, but it'll be tomorrow morning about 9:30 or 10 o'clock in some cases. Thank you again. I think I might have a slot for a suggestion for a hymn if somebody has one. I just have one. If nobody else has a suggestion for a hymn, I have one right here. Go ahead, Norm.
273.
I hope I know this one, Norm. Let me see. What will you do with Jesus?
Is it in the music machine?
It is indeed. Do you know it?
I know it.
Oh, good. You sound good and loud. I expect you to sing up good and loud too, Norman, seeing as you picked it. We're trying this one.
You're going to play a verse?
Yep, this is the first time we've played this one. There are 5 verses. The first one is an introduction. That's the intro.
Thank you.
That's a no, Norman. Sorry. You're okay. Okay. Have you got another one? Or Len? Or Frank? We'll have to get Monica to play that one because I couldn't even follow the music for that.
I'll listen to it and see if I can figure it out.
Go ahead, Ling. Have you got one?
Go ahead, Ling. I'd be shot short.
Sorry, Norman.
I'm getting better. I'm getting my blood tapping in here.
Next time there'll be a helicopter coming in and a doctor jumping out.
185.
My Saviour's love. We know that. That's Stanton. 185, my Saviour's love. That's a good one. Server. And I wandered in at 10 o'clock in the morning instead of a quarter past 8, and they said, how come the email server wasn't working this morning? And I said, were all the orders processed? They said, yes.
that everybody have their access to the internet and their production figures, etc., etc. Yes. Well, I was the person that was called in last night to fix the computers and get them running, which I did, and the way I did it was better than the way you didn't do it. I was here, and what I had to offer was what you get. And that is the same with you. You don't have to be me. You don't have to know everything about the Bible, but if you are in a situation to speak to someone about their souls, you are the expert. And the way that you do it, whether it's expertly done, whether it's clumsily done, whether it's the first time you've done it, or whether you are a well-oiled machine at doing it, your way is the best way. Don't ever be afraid to tell someone about the Lord. Thank you for your good time, and God bless you. I appreciate you taking the time to be here. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wee bit of time around your word. We love you and praise you and ask that you would see us safely home and prepare us, Lord, to meet the rest of our week. Leave these things at your feet, Lord. Pray that you would look after our brethren too, wherever they might be, and make more of us, Lord. We love you and thank you. Amen. Thank you, folks. We're dismissed.